Welcome to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center in Regina, Saskatchewan. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Megan, and this is the conversation. No, this is the podcast where I have conversations. I was about to say the conversation where I have the podcast. What's the deal? Today's episode features a conversation with my friend Nick Fay. I've known Nick for quite some time, and we've toured together, we've played shows together. We forgot to talk about the one time we played this little small town together, and then the next day the RM emailed me photos of tractors. I forgot about that, but now you know. But Nick and I, we talk about, well, the things that you kind of expect from a conversation with Nick Fay, to be honest. We talk Arby's. We talk KFC. We talk about the Regina Pats. We talk about Jell-O. All right, let's get right to it, folks. Today's guest is Nick Fay, whose band is Nick Fay and the Deputies. Enjoy. Nick Fay, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. We have tried this a couple times. The one time my power went out, so we couldn't record a conversation.
You probably just like shut down your breaker because you didn't want to talk to me. Oh, the power. How could I have? I guess we have to cancel. Oh, you're available to shoot another. Okay. Yeah, we can reschedule.
You know what? It just, the vibe wasn't there. I just wasn't feeling it. And I got my partner to just go into the basement and shut and switch the breaker. Yeah, you're totally right. That's what I do to get out of commitments these days.
I do that too, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, thanks for chatting with me. You know, I've known you now for like, what, 10 years or something? I don't know. I have no idea. It's probably close to. I've known of you for 10 years. I don't remember when or how we met. I don't remember that.
I don't either.
Yeah, it's weird. But I was just thinking, like, I was just curious, like, I don't feel like, would you bring me up to speed and the listener up to speed too with like all your music projects? Like, what actually was your first band? Refresh my memory, please.
Okay. So here is the, Wikipedia entry for if you Wikipedia Nick Fay's bands.
Is this a current search?
It's not. Don't actually go Wikipedia.
Well, you know what though would be really cool is if I did update your Wikipedia with this information afterwards.
That sounds like a new podcast idea where you just update people's wikis with information that, you know, people spill on your podcast. And Megan Nash's Wiki Emporium or something.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like a wicker furniture like store, but...
Yeah, like yeah. Well, I'll get a wicker chair, and I'll talk to guests from
Megan
that
Nash's
chair.
Megan Nash's Wicker Wiki Emporium.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll just update stuff on Wikipedia for people. First band, here we go. I'm typing.
So yeah, basically, actually, Adam, who drums in the Deputies, him and I and two other pals in high school. I've jammed with like a couple other people before then, but we were in a band called Powerbox Social. And it was like, I don't know, like kind of stoner rock, kind of like, hey, one song we wrote sounds like it should have been on like a Budweiser commercial. But we actually, that was kind of cool because like I'd been going to shows in the Regina scene for a while. And then, so this was like the first band where we actually got to play shows like at the Buffalo Lounge and like, the club, and we like won a battle of the bands and got to play Gateway Festival in like 2007, which was like, I remember being backstage and getting to chat with like Jeff Healey and like his roadies, and they're like, hey kids, and we're like, oh, like, I don't know. It was really cool. I did that. And then I moved to Saskatoon for a bit and I joined a hardcore band called Stallions. And then I screamed in that for a while. And then I was doing acoustic stuff. And then I played in These Estates for a while. And then mostly it's just been like Deputies and like just Nick Fay stuff. And then also recently we did like a kind of cool secret, kind of hardcore heavier project that I'm not going to tell people yet, but it was like definitely a pandemic project with a friend of mine. So I don't know when those songs will be done, but yeah, I don't know. It's just fun to make music.
Yeah. Well,
do you have any like high school bands?
No, not really. Nobody, like I went to a super small high school, right? Like there are only 10 kids in my graduating class. And that's including myself. So, and I was like the only kid in my grade who kind of knew how to play some open chords on a guitar, you know? So it was enough to get me the Mortlach Fiddler's Award though.
Whoa.
I'll tell you that. And I'm pretty sure.
Is that still an award?
I don't know. But there's no music program in the school. So it's kind of just whoever is drawn to playing music. Like maybe they have something now, but at the time, I think in Mortlach, because I went to Mortlach School, K-12,
can I apply,
all the same building.
Can I apply for the Mortlach Fiddler's Award?
You know what? I think it was like $200 or maybe $300, which, you know, that was good.
That's sick. A. B, I haven't been having much luck with grants, so, you know, tossing Mortlach Fiddler Award on there,
you know,
might push me over the edge.
People are always quick to, you know, apply for Factor grants, apply for Creative Saskatchewan grants, but where the money is at are these small town high schools. But
there's
that
money in the Mortlach Fiddler Award.
Yeah. It is also for the students. So, you know, we're 10 years too late.
So I just have to enroll.
Well, sure. I actually, you know what? I cannot speak on the enrollment process of my small town high school, which may shock some of the listeners. They may think, okay, well, what did you learn in high school? And I said, well, not how to go there. I just showed up and they let me go back. And then I graduated from there.
Well, what else? Was there anything before, like, there's Panicorn, there's Meg Nash?
Yeah, no, I played in a country cover band for a while, and then right like in high school, in grade 12, I started playing a little bit here or there. I started writing songs in grade 12, and then I actually moved to Saskatoon as well right out of high school, because I just thought, like, in Saskatchewan, it's like, well, if you want to play music, you go to Saskatoon. I don't know why I thought that, but is that a part of why you went to Saskatoon, or do you have a different feeling?
I mean, I went there for, like, university, but I feel like if you're, like, people from Regina, it's like a safe, like, okay, like, same size as Regina, like, that's about as big as you're gonna get for a, like, Saskatchewan city. It's not like it's like Calgary or Winnipeg or Toronto, like a big, like, you, I even now whenever I'm in, like, Winnipeg or whatever, like, I love those cities, but, like, whenever I have to drive somewhere, I'm like, this is like, it takes like 45 minutes to get downtown from, like, aside of Winnipeg. Like, it's just like, it stresses, like, how big it is. I'm like population wise maybe it's not huge, but, like, size wise I'm like, this stresses me out. So I think, like, Saskatoon is like a D size, and if you're from Saskatchewan, you know, there's a good university. For me, like, I was going to engineering, so that's why I went up there. But I also know Andy Schaaf moved from, like, Regina to Saskatoon. It's like a weird thing that, like, if you're from southern Saskatchewan and you want to do music, I feel like a large percentage of people just, they're like, oh, I'm going to the big city, going to Saskatoon.
Yeah, I went there because I knew other songwriters. Like, that was the main reason, because I took a songwriting program that Kim Fontaine taught. Jay Semko was a part of that too, and David J. Taylor, and that was through the extended learning some kind of program through the U of S, and I really loved that. And that was the first time, like, I drove up to Saskatoon by myself, you know, for a month every weekend, and that was a big deal for me, being like a kid, like a farm kid. And I met other folks who really liked music, and I finally was, like, kind of in that environment. And then after high school, I was just like, well, I'm just going to go to Saskatoon and write songs, because I know people there that write songs. And then I ended up working at Midtown Mall, and I drove to work every day because I didn't understand how the bus system works. Like, I don't understand. Yeah. Like, I do now, but public transit, as, like, a 17-year-old kid fresh off the farm, I was like, I don't understand this at all. So I drove every day, and I had to pay $10. At least it was $10 for parking.
I was going to ask about the cost of parking.
Yeah, it was...
I never...
Making minimum wage at the mall, paying 10 bucks a day to park, that was... And
it's
then
like
I was
quarter
always,
of your...
Yeah, and I always buy food court stuff. And actually, there was an Arby's in that food court, the one in Midtown.
I know. I mean, I used to play shows down there. We used to either go... Whenever we played shows at, like, Lorelei or Le Relais, we'd always go to, there's a Subway in the Max near there. But if we were playing like the Basement or Walkers or whatever, we'd always go to that food court. And guess what your boy would load up on? You know, it's beef ched time.
Oh, yeah.
Rest in peace. That's not there anymore. It's a shame.
Oh, dear. But then, and then I ended up moving back to Moose Jaw after a bit. And then I went to university, or not, I went to college. I've never gone to university. I went to college for music business. But for a bit there, I was just like, well, I'm just going to go to Saskatoon. And I still love Saskatoon. I haven't lived there for, you know, quite some time. But every time I have lived there, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So your first band, like, you were still in high school. You said you played Gateway in 2007. Did you graduate in 2007?
That's year, yeah. And so we were like grade 12. Oh, look at us.
Yeah.
We should start a band called the Class of 07.
We should plan a high school reunion.
Oh, that would be so cute.
Yeah. I don't think anybody in my high school planned one, so we can just plan.
We play horseshoes?
Is that like...
We throw horseshoes on the pin?
Yeah, sure.
Like
sure.
Outside?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you know, maybe in 2022 we can have a... or should we just wait until it's like 20 years? What? When is that going to happen?
Did you have a reunion?
No. I'm just having a bit of a moment right now about time.
Yeah, we have some, there were some people who were trying. They were like really nice at my high school and they're planning a 10-year, and then it just like kind of fell through. I was planning to like go. I was like, oh, sure. Like I got along with people at my high school, but they just fell through and then that was it. There's no 10-year.
Well, you know what? How about in 2027 we plan a high school reunion.
Okay. I'm in. You've got me. Sign me up. Do you need a deposit now or are you booking a hall?
No, deposits stress me out actually. I don't like having okay. I don't like them either. I don't like that. It's just like, just, you know, everybody can give me money day of. I have no idea why everyone's giving me money for this, but because I have nothing booked yet. But you know what, those are plans I feel good about making actually, because every time someone tries to say, oh, are you playing shows this fall, you know, I'm like, I don't know yet, but I can I'll say, yeah, we can plan a high school reunion, a 20-year. That's going to be our 20-year high school reunion. Where is time going? Where is it going?
I don't know, but
can you answer that question, actually? Because that would be really sweet.
Where is time? Oh,
if I had that answer in this podcast, I feel like our listenership would go up.
Give me some heads up. You just rip up here and expect me to know the answer to where is time going?
Okay, yeah, sorry. Well, I'm sorry.
That's not how this works.
Where would you research it prior to this question, then? What would your research look like?
Oh,
no,
my gosh.
You know what? I just love the idea, though, of us just gathering a bunch of folks who graduated in 2007. You know what?
What if people just want to come hang out?
Yeah, we should just have a party in that year.
We should reject people. Like, I can bounce. Okay. If the party is just us at the door being like, show us your high school yearbook, show us your credentials.
So no, this sounds less like a high school reunion and more of like a power trip of us just being like,
yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, you can come to this party, but oh, look at you.
Do you know how much scene prep we're gonna get once people hear that we're throwing a like 20-year reunion
for 2007 high school graduates? Yeah, yeah. I think people are gonna be excited about this.
But think of all like the bribes we could let, you know, like all the freebies. Like, yeah. Imagine sitting at the gate being like, okay, well, 2008, that's cool. In 19 years, that's not 20.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you bring us a bag of beef and cheddars, then maybe we can look the other way.
Yeah, we're going to have Arby's catering. We're going to have horseshoes. And that's it so far. But it's going to be really good.
That's all people need to know, right? Yeah. The rest will fall into place.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. So I feel like when I first started hearing about you, like, you were already playing so many shows. And I was just like, well, like, I really feel like you've been cool for a long time. And you were cool for a long time. And I was like, I want to be playing the places that Nick Faye is playing. Honestly, like, I'm admitting that on this podcast. I used to, you know how you creep people's tour schedules when you're booking? Hot tip, folks. You look at an artist, you feel like, well, they kind of have a similar vein of what I'm doing. We're kind of in, you know, similar thing. And then you look and see where their venues or where they've been playing. And I remember looking at your schedule once and you were playing like in Yorkton or something like that. And I was like, man, I want to play in Yorkton too.
I honestly think it was like, because the scene in Saskatchewan was just so DIY. Like everyone was just, nobody knew what they were doing. And everyone was just like, oh, like in Regina, like at the Buffalo Lounge, it was literally just like a, like it's the Youth for Christ building now. And it was just like this little gymnasium behind like a church. And it was like, yeah, like Schaff's bands would play there and all the hardcore bands would play there. Like, you know, like Means and like Matt from Northcote hit their band, or like a lot of people would go to Briarcrest or like whatever, and they would come in and play shows. Like even at Yorkton, it was just like, there's one person that was like, come play a show. And it was like, oh, okay. Like playing in Wakaw, Saskatchewan. I don't know. It's just like, there's all these like little, and I feel like you're also very good at like, how'd you get the show? Oh, I was hula hooping with this guy and he invited me to play in his garage. So yeah, I like, you know, it's, but it very much like the start of it, we were all just a bunch of kids in high school. And there are a couple artists, like I always think of like Schaff and Andy Schaff and Zach Lucky and like Jordan Kurtz from Fisticuffs and like Sean from The Bravest Ghost, and all these bands would go on tour, and then it was like, I want to do that. And so you'd creep their MySpace, as apparently you did to me. Probably doing it to you. Like it was just like, because everyone was like, I don't know, where do I play? And you look and it's like, okay, cool, I'll just call this place. And
yeah,
and it very much was like a DIY, like just kind of like I'll never forget my buddy Jordan Kurtz and I, the first tour we ever went was like 10 years ago, and I was in university and he was like, I went to go see a show that him and a friend played at like Java Express, now it's like the French Press, I guess, in Regina. And I remember sitting there and he's like, hey, so like, what do you, when I'd been on a couple like small like prairie tours, but he's like, what do you do in the summer? I was like, I don't know. He's like, do you want to like go on tour? I was like, I don't know, maybe like where? He's like, well, I have to go to a wedding in Ontario. So I was thinking Newfoundland, like not even remotely close, like legit, like halfway across like a continent. And I was like, okay, like, do you know how to do this? Like, have you ever booked a tour? He was like, no. And I was like, okay. And then he's like, do you know what you're doing? I was like, no. And then we just like, kind of like between like punk rock message boards, cause like that was kind of before Facebook made those obsolete and stuff like that, and MySpaces, and just calling places and looking through, yeah, like Zach and Andy and other people's like tour schedule, we just kind of like tried to play the same places, and the shows might not have been great, but you know, when you're looking at someone's MySpace, it's like, oh, like they're going on tour, like yeah, that was a big tour. And it's like most of the shows were awful, but like, yeah, I don't know, I think that was just kind of the nature of the scene, like, and how it started. And yeah
I think about I went to one show at the Buffalo Lounge. Like, I didn't get to go to a lot of shows growing up or anything, because I was on the farm, and I went to a couple all ages shows in Moose Jaw when I was old enough, like when I had my driver's license.
Was that Java Express or?
No, that was some of these little halls. I don't remember the name of the hall, but I saw Go Jeff.
I played a church hall one time.
In Moose Jaw?
Yeah.
Go
Jeff was so good.
I know.
Like they were like so before their time.
I know.
So
well, and they were really great. And like that band for me, actually, for those who don't know, Go Jeff was a Moose Jaw based band, and one of the band members was from Mortlach. So we weren't tight in high school or anything, but because he was like a big kid, you know, like I think he was like 2 years older than me, which feels like a really long time in high school. But my friend, my now friend, Skylar Cafferata, was in that band. And I remember I went to go see him play in a hall in Moose Jaw with Go Jeff. And I was just like, whoa, he's made it. Like, I bought their burnt CD and I listened to it in my little Toyota Tercel on the drive home. I loved that car. It was standard. So
they
fun
got,
to drive.
They got their music video, like I remember like watching
it was much, on Much.
Much Loud.
I'm pretty sure,
yeah,
it was on
like
Much
on Saturdays,
yeah.
And like that, their label that they were on, it was kind of wild. Like, I have other friends that were on that label, and it was just kind of like the Wild West. there's like wild stories from it. But yeah, they were frequently on like Much Music, Much Loud, and it was just like, I remember we'd always, like, if we were having parties on Saturday night, we'd have Much Music on, and that's when they'd play like all the hardcore, like all the, like the Wedge or like Much Loud. And then, you know, to see your friend's band,
yeah,
on TV at a party, like if it was Means or The Fortunate or Go Jeff or Sylvie or, you know, Despistado or whatever, it was just like, whoa, I saw him last week. Like, you know, you're sitting there having drinks and half paying attention. And like, and then it's like, oh my God, like they're playing Go Jeff. Like, it was just like, it was so cool. Like, yeah. I don't know. It was awesome.
Yeah. No, it makes you feel like you could do it. You know, like I remember watching, and I'm actually going to have Skylar, spoiler, where I am going to have him on this podcast. And so I can publicly declare this to him, and that like he was so, so inspiring. Like when I went into that little tiny cramped hall in Moose Jaw and saw this guy from my high school, my small town, very like rural high school, get up on stage in his underwear and just like play these really like awesome energetic songs with his friends, it was so cool. And I was like, I just want to do that. And I had no idea how. I had no idea like what to do or like how to do any of it.
But I think that again, it's like here, everyone is just like bored. We all love music. We all loved art. We had there was like this weird like counterculture where like, I don't know. Yeah, like you could book a hall. A kid in Esterhazy could book like the hall and like go, like it would just be for them more often than not when we got booked for those shows, like with Stallions or with me, like, you know, playing in Kindersley, playing in Esterhazy, playing in Yorkton, playing in Waka, playing in all these like whatever. Most times they'd just be like, half the town would be like, I don't get it. Like one time, like in Esterhazy, like the RCMP got called to, like, because there was like a noise, like, why is it so loud? Like, it's just like, I don't know. But it was just, yeah, like, I think just it being so accessible and people being, I mean, there's definitely like toxic aspects of certain scenes, like especially like the metalcore, hardcore, like some of just now thinking back, like some of the things that were normalized and whatever definitely are like really awful and like not cool. But in general, people I think were like supportive, and it was like, you know, it was like, I want to do that. And I remember going to shows and like, yeah, seeing Shoff or seeing Means or seeing, you know, you or seeing other people and just being like, holy crap, like they're so good. And then just like wanting to go home and like instantly picking up my guitar. And it wasn't like I was like, I need to be better than them. It was just like, that looks like so much fun.
No, you
and
were inspired.
Going to these shows is so much fun. How do I be a part? Yeah. How do I be a part of it? And like, I think that for me, cause I grew up like playing, like I did guitar lessons for a long time and I just like didn't have fun. Like I hate, it was like, oh, I'll learn this. And I was like, okay. And really, I mean, those gave me like maybe technical skills to be able to play a guitar a bit better maybe than if I would have just been noodling around by myself. But it wasn't until going to those shows and just feeling the energy and going in a mosh pit and like meeting people and like everybody was just so chill and cool and like supportive and seeing your friends just picking stuff up and like booking a tour that made it all feel so accessible. And yeah, it was really inspiring.
Yeah. I saw one show at the Buffalo Lounge, and what I loved about this bill, again, like I only went to one show cause I lived in Regina for a little bit and then found out about the Buffalo Lounge. So I was probably like 20 or 21 the first time I actually went. And I think I saw, like, there were a couple, like, pop punk bands. And then in between the bands, they had singer-songwriters doing sets, which was really cool. Like, I got to hear Megan Bowman for the first time. And then I ended up touring with her a few years later. We did a tour out to Vancouver and back. But yeah, just hearing you talk about, experiencing live shows, man, it just makes me miss it so much more. Like, it's that exchange of energy. And how, like, just, yeah, getting inspired by other people, it just fills your cup. And I just really miss that.
It's going to come back. I know that, like, it's hard now. And especially just, I 100%, like, there's so many times where I miss it. But I just think back to those times. And it was, like, it definitely was a time, like, that era. Because it was, like, that was when, like, Alexis on Fire but then Dallas Green would have his acoustic project. So like getting like Julia, you know, Julia and her piano, or Megan Bowman playing in between three Scream, or like even in Saskatoon, like, so when I moved up there, I didn't have any friends, but I went on the punk message board and there were promoters like, hey, like, I checked your MySpace, like, it sounds pretty cool. Do you want to play a set before four metal bands? And I'd be like, yeah, sure, like, please. Like, so it's just like, it was really interesting. And then usually those acoustic or like metal bands, they would start their own, or like their hardcore metal bands, they would start their own acoustic, like, you know, a la Dallas Green, like City in Color. And it was just very much like that era where you'd have, yeah, like a Megan Bowman playing between like three screamy bands.
Yeah, I love that though. I love it when and it's always kind of weirded me out when other scenes, I feel like when some folks are really concerned with the genre of a bill, that's always weirded me out a little bit, because it's just not what I'm used to. It's like, no, you play shows with your friends, and the audience coming out, if they think that you're putting out something that is genuine and authentic, unless it's really abstract, I feel like a lot of folks are gonna connect with it still, you know? Like, there's always gonna, I guess there might be, like, I don't know, some people who are like, what, this isn't a singer-songwriter thing, and I came here to see a singer-songwriter. But I feel like in these small towns, when you're promoting to so many folks who just want to feel something authentic and experience something with a group of like-minded folks, like, that just all love music, you can really get away with some pretty fun bills. Like, I just love playing shows with other friends on the bills, and then you go touring together like we did in 2014.
Heck yeah, there, bud.
That was 2014. We went to Vancouver and back, right?
What happened to time?
Where did time go? No, I don't know. I don't know. You know what? Speaking of time, we got to take a break. That doesn't work very well. Can you do a better?
What doesn't?
Can you? Speaking of time, we need to take a break. That doesn't feel that good. What should I say instead? You say it, Nick. Say we got to take a break.
Do you have a radio voice?
Is this not a radio voice?
Okay, just wait. You are listening to Pep and Chad podcast with Megan Nash. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Center. Today's guest is Nick Fay from Nick Fay and the Deputies. Okay, Nick Fay, I'm going to say two things, and you need to please, could you tell me which one of these two things you love more? Like, your love is greater for one item, okay?
So we have
contenders, water slides or Arby's?
I really like water slides. I love them.
Yeah.
And I get fired up about water slides, but the thing is I get tired easily. Like, I just like, I think I get overstimulated and then I get tired. So like, I like ripping them, you know, like, I mean, when we were on tour in Fernie, we got put up in a hotel and like we slid for a while. Like, that was like, it was like right when it opened. It was like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And I feel like we slid for like, it was like 45 minutes to an hour of like.
Well, I was going to say it was an hour. Yeah. Like, that's.
Like, ish, yeah. Of like just perpetual sliding.
Yeah. No, that was so sweet. Like, when we did that,
it was awesome, but that's not the norm. Like, I feel like I get tired after, you know, like,
we were younger. We were like 24 years old. We had a good gig that gave us some beer and money. We got to go to that print shop.
That's the song by The Killers when we were young. It was about Killers got put up in a hotel and they got water slides.
Yeah.
It was just them reminiscing about when they were young.
And I'm not a morning person. I don't really like do much exercising in the morning or anything. I'm not into that. The best time for me to exercise is between 4 and 6 p.m. That's
Hey, me too.
Yeah, yeah.
When I come home from work, I'm exercising, like, cuz I get bored. Like, I just get really bored unless it's like I'm riding my bike and like I'm like having a good time and like out, you know, seeing things and like listening to the tunes and like just losing myself in like that flow state. I personally, like, if I get home and I've been sitting all day, do like a late, I used to get really guilty because like I would do a YouTube like workout during the pandemic, or I'd go to the gym myself. And after like 20 minutes, I'd be like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I used to feel really guilty because I'm like, no, I need to work out for 30 minutes. I need to work out for an hour. Like, I need to hold myself to account. And like lately, I've just been like, I'll go for 10 minutes. And if I'm bored, I'm bored.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. That's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And what I mean too, between that time frame, I don't work out for 2 hours straight. I really don't. I like to do like, and if I have the energy, I like to do like just a pretty intense 30 minutes and then just get on with my day. Sometimes 45 mm-hmm. minutes, but, and I was kind of like trying to do it like maybe too frequently. And now I'm scaling back a bit. I'm like, if I do like 3 days of strength training, I'm sure that is going to be fine for my brain. But anyways, you know, I was mentioning that I don't really like to, like, I'm never like a workout in the morning kind of person, but if I had access to a water slide every morning, like, that is a nice way to wake up. You know, if you have a coffee.
Do you have room at your house? You just do a little like addition.
Oh yeah, just a little big addition.
You know, on the side of hotels where it's like the water slide, usually they just build a separate like your little tower. You could just.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, you know, that's great. I think
you've got a Juno nod, you know, like you probably have, like, you could probably add that on. Hey,
oh yeah, well, I've got CRB, so I gotta put that to work.
Okay, Papa Trudeau's, you know, Trudeau's water slide. Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
That's what I'll name it. And
okay, so back to the question is 100%. If I had a water slide, I think I'd use it as well. But Arby's, it's just more like I don't have to expel as much energy to like eat it. And, it's just a nice treat. Like I maybe go to Arby's. Like, I tweet about Arby's more than I like, and people, every meme I've actually, this week I was thinking about making a coffee table book about just every Arby's meme, because if there's an Arby's meme out there, I get sent it multiple times. Like it's like, I should be collecting them. Because it's like, yeah, I'm the Arby's guy now, but it's just a nice treat.
I'm the Arby's guy now, just so casually confidently.
I am, like, that's how people know me. But I think that it's just a nice treat, and legit, like, that's the only time I really crave poutine. Like, their curly fries poutine is like, it's so good. So I think I'd probably pick Arby's just because it's just a nice treat. Yeah, it's a nice treat.
Okay. That's, you know, but a nice day is both. Am I right? You go ripping on those slides for 45 minutes to an hour. Oh, yeah. And then you finish that with some of those curly fries. I've been thinking about those curly fries a lot. I haven't had Arby's in years, and I'm definitely due for a feed as I.
Megan, here's what you do.
Okay, let me hear it.
You go into the mechanical room in the pool, and wherever the pump is for the water slide, you take out that hose, you grab the vat of pump cheese, and you just toss that into that, you know, toss the hose wherever the pump is coming from. You toss that in there, and you rip up to the water slide. You tell your friend, like, hey, Lenny, let her go. And break the pump. You might break the pump. I don't know if it can handle that thick, gooey cheese, but you could probably get at least one or two rips down the pump cheese slide.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? Who am I to argue with that? I didn't go to university for engineering. You did. So I'm going to take your word for it. Okay. Okay. That sounds great. Okay. Okay. Right. Next one. Okay. Do you like Kraft Dinner or Annie's? Which one? That's the same category. That's not as fun, but.
Okay, this is a little life hack for y'all. The answer is neither. I like both of those, and I would gladly eat either of those. It's a little trick my Nona taught me. When she would make mac and cheese, she would get the PC brand white cheddar. And that is, I think, by far the superior mac and cheese. However, what I've been doing is sometimes you just don't want to cook, right? Like, when I think like mac and cheese, I think you come home, you just, I don't want to like cook something healthy. This is easy.
You've been like on the water slides all day. You want something quick. You've spent a lot of energy. Slides, yeah.
You know, you got cheese in your ear. You just don't, you're thinking cheese.
It could be a problem. You don't want to deal with it right now, but you might have to go get medical attention, but you got to eat first.
You got to eat first. Yeah. So what I've been doing is I make that. And then I toss in a bunch of frozen peas. I toss in a bunch of frozen corn, and I toss in a can of tuna. And it's almost like a lazy man's tuna helper.
Yeah.
So usually if I'm eating mac and cheese, if I just want, you know, if I'm, that's kind of a weird, not everyone likes that. So like, I will eat that myself, but like for other people, I would probably serve them the PC white bread. PC white cheddar brand.
Okay, here's the next one for you. And this one might be controversial. The Regina Pats or the Weyburn KFC buffet. Which do you love more?
Have you been to the KFC buffet?
You know what? I went there once after after a show in Estevan, but I had I'm pretty sure I had like heat stroke. I wasn't feeling too well and I just got a big crunch to go.
Did we play that show?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's like animals on the main street and stuff.
Okay. What? Oh dear. I hope they weren't there because it was so hot. I don't remember the
it
animals.
Was hot.
Maybe by the time I played, because I played at like 3, maybe the animals were like put it in some shelter or something. Because I don't remember seeing animals. Because I think you played.
Okay. I played like early, and it was very hot. Like it was like noon maybe. What did you get at KFC?
Well, I didn't get the buffet, no, because I was just trying to, I just wanted something quick. So I just got like, isn't it called a Big Crunch Wrap? Like, is that what it's called still?
Okay.
I think
so. I don't, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I just got something to
keep the heat stroke at bay. A nice light fried chicken wrap.
Yeah.
Okay.
And an ice cold Diet Pepsi and those fries and I just had to get home. I was not feeling well after that much sun. I never felt like, I'm not very organized, but that day I was like, I should have been a librarian. Like, I'm not cut out for this. Like, this is, I should be in a building right now with
so
shade.
Then you would have been able to be inside. You would have been able to take down a buffet, you know, properly.
Yeah,
right. If you didn't have heat stroke, you would have got the buffet.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, and I would have access to all kinds of books all the time, and I would still be employed right now. But anyways, okay, so what's
basically
your
the reason why there's like this employee there, her name's Irene, and I remember I've probably been to KFC buffet maybe the answer is Regina Pats, like by far. Just I don't know. I like hockey and they're my team. But in terms of KFC buffet, one quick thing is, yeah, I've probably taken it down about like 5 times. And the last couple times, this wonderful woman named Irene has been working. And I walked up and I brought my friend this time. I'm like, oh, you got it. Like, we got to go. It's an experience. Like, it's awesome. And we go up and this woman, she's like, all right, boys, like, you know the rules. And I was like, no. She's like, so she gave us a rundown. She's like, that's where the pierogies are. That's where the chicken is. If you need anything, you come up here. Like, there's the fountain drink. Here's your cup. One rule only. If you're going back for seconds, you got to get a new plate. And we're like, okay. Like, she just like was so adamant at like explaining these rules and did such a good job that we're like, I won't let you down, Irene. Like, I understand this responsibility I have. So I'll just never forget. Like, so we load it up. Worst part about it is like the like dessert or whatever, there's like three flavors of Jell-O. Like, nobody, like, you're really trying to just fill the trays at that point. Like, nobody cares that much about the flavors of Jell-O or like, yeah, anyways, that's my only qualm about the KFC buffet. But then when like we went back for seconds, like I kind of apprehensively like she was like watching the garbage and I like put it in and was like making eye contact with her, like, and like kind of nodding my head as I put it in like the garbage. And she was like, attaboy. And then gave me another plate. And I was like, yes, I didn't let you down, Irene.
Well,
so Regina Pats, but special shout out to Irene.
Yeah. Yeah. First, it sounded like you're being kind of harsh to the KFC buffet. I thought you held it in higher regard, but you did redeem yourself with that heartwarming Irene story. And I see where you're coming from, kind of, as I'm just
trying to... Three trees of Jell-O.
Well, and the Regina Pats, they only have probably one flavor of Jell-O, and they just commit to that one flavor, and they know people don't care about the other flavors. They're just like, what is the official flavor of the Regina Pats hockey team? I don't know sports.
If the Pats sold Jell-O, I would go to, like, triple the games.
Blue raspberry?
Blue raspberry. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, you know, maybe they need some, if they ever need help with some marketing, you know, we're the people to call. I know lots about sports. I was in the volleyball team in grade 12 because they needed me to be on the team, so we had enough players. And we won one set once. Not one game.
Against who?
One set. I don't even remember.
Oh,
but
gosh.
You know, they probably were very embarrassed to actually lose.
I would
a
listen
set
to the Megan Nash Sports Hour.
Oh, you know, I used to work in radio a long time ago, Nick, and I would, one of my critiques and something I had to work on was I would announce the sports scores wrong. Like, I would announce them incorrectly all the time.
What do you mean wrong?
I didn't know there was an order. You're supposed to say who wins first or something? Like, oh, that was 5-0 or something.
I'm like, yeah, you have to like identify who, like, who scored what.
Yeah, but I don't know. And it's just
all right,
like,
in the game between Weyburn and Estevan, it was 5-0.
No, but I would have said in the game of to Weyburn and Estevan, I would have said, hey, what's the deal with the three flavors of Jell-O at the buffet? And Estevan won. It was 3-5. Like, I would say that wrong. And I was always talking
that
about buffets.
Okay.
And they're like,
Estevan,
you got to get out of there.
Oh, I understand. I understand. I wouldn't nitpick, but I guess your employer might have other plans. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I was doing it professionally. Like, I was doing it as, like, the news break, you know?
Yeah.
So I probably should have been done right. But you know what? Those were some good days, and I learned
yeah,
a lot
now
about
you have
radio.
Your own podcast.
Yeah, and it's brought me here. Yeah. I was going, you know, I used to, yeah, I was doing quite a bit in radio at one point, and now, you know what? I can say sports scores however I please. And I have no accountability.
You should do a little sports score like break. You should just edit it into this podcast.
Yeah, I should.
Megan Nash here.
Megan Nash here. And the team. This is bad improv, Nick. Yes and.
Irene's Jell-O trays beat the Regina Pats by a score of 3-5.
Thank you.
Three flavors of Jell-O. If they had five, then they would have tied it. But there's not that many flavors of Jell-O.
No.
I don't know where I'm...
No, that's
I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's okay.
I'm just going to cut that off there. I don't know where I was going.
That's okay. And you know what? We're not going to edit any of this out because if folks know anything listening to this podcast...
My podcast cred is going out the window.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you know what? A long time ago when I was just a little girl, I said... The world needs another poorly prepared podcast. That's what the world needs. And I grew up, and now I'm the woman I am, rambling the way I am. And I say thank you, dear listener. And thank you, Nick Faye. What's your favorite song that you've written? What's a song that you listen
know.
To and you go, man, I wrote that, and I was really honest with myself, and I'm happy with how it is.
I think Expats on Stumbling Distance, just because... some of the new ones I've written are also like pretty sick, I think, but that one is like specifically just because like on that album it's like quite different. It's just like a like kind of punchy, like angry, like almost punk song, and it was like I was pumped on how I basically the song is just about like when people think that the root of their problems is like where they are from. Sometimes that's true, but I think Saskatchewan, a lot of people like peace out and like move because they think they're just like, oh, it's boring here, there's nothing to do, like this place just isn't for me, and like that's totally fine. But it's like, you know, me, a lot of times I've just seen people who have maybe their own issues to like work through, and they blame it on like wherever they're living on instead of like you working through those issues. And then they go to those places and it's like, yeah, it's like glitzy and glamorous and like nice, but then it's still like those people still have issues there, and then they come back. I don't know, it's just like it's an interesting. And then like they come back during like Christmas, and then they're like, oh, why do you still live here? Like, you should move. Like, oh, don't you know, like Vancouver, Calgary is like so great. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just this weird dynamic. And so it's kind of like an angry, like, hey, like, I like, you know, like I like living here. Like, I don't know. I don't want to hear about how great Vancouver is. You know, I know about it. Like, it's cool, whatever. So it's kind of like that type of like emotion. And in the recording, we did some really cool things. And like Michael Vojvoda, who we recorded with at the Studio One, rest in peace, in the CBC building. Just kind of some of the things he did sonically and the emotions that we were able to convey. I don't know. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah.
I still listen to it and I'm like, oh yeah. Like I would listen to this if this wasn't me and I wasn't just like anxiously listening to my stuff, like maybe once a month, which I do every once in a while, just to like verify if I like still think I'm like an okay songwriter. If like I'm like, I don't know. It's like, am I okay? Like, do I know what I'm doing? Like, I don't know. I listen every once in a while, but that song I always listen to, and I'm like, oh yeah. Like, heck yeah.
Yeah, no, that's it's interesting hearing you talk about that, because I think about a time in my life where I was really hard on certain places, and it was because I was struggling so much. It was also like in my early 20s though, and if you're not going through like a weird growing pain in your early 20s, like what is happening? Like who, you know, I think when I turned 30 I was like, okay, now I'm kind of grown up. Like my 20s, I'm just like, yeah. Who am I? What am I? You know? And so I was really mad at certain places. And now, you know, there's so many spots in Saskatchewan where, yeah, there's definitely a lot of work to be done, you know? And there's a lot of groups. Like I think, you know, Moose Jaw Pride comes to mind when I think about Moose Jaw and all the great work that they are doing and actively working on making the community of Moose Jaw a safer place for the LGBTQ plus community. And that's really amazing. And I feel like Moose Jaw has so much potential. And I really, something that's kind of hard in some of these city centers, you know, when you're thinking about venues, when we're looking at Regina and Saskatoon and Moose Jaw and, well, you know, and I guess, yeah, and just I can really just speak to those right now when I'm with this ramble. But some places like Moose Jaw in particular, you have smaller coffee shops that will host open mics when it's safe to. And then you go right up to the soft seater. There's not a whole lot of like these mid-level yeah. venues. And there really is a need in it for that in these kind of communities, especially with Moose Jaw. It's interesting because it's right on the number one. So when it is safe to tour and people are touring, there are a lot of folks that are passing through. And unless you have a radius clause with the Regina venue, there is a chance to play a show in both centers. Because not everybody from Regina is going to drive to Moose Jaw for a show.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that because it's really interesting. Before I do, on the topic of like, you know, kind of resenting, it's like, I understand like when I was saying before, it's like people leaving and stuff like that. I just wanted to clarify, like, I have so many friends that like moved to Vancouver and they're just so chill. Like, I miss a lot of things about Regina, but I also like Vancouver. And it's like, that's totally cool. I think specifically it was just like, it just gets tiring. It gets tiring when people come home at, or even like Marshall Burns song, like this bar is full of people who come home once a year. It's yeah. like you go to the bar during the weekend and it's just a bunch of people being like, yeah, like, oh, good to see you. When are you moving here? And it's like, you know, it's like their hometown is like a fairy tale to it. Like it's like it's fantasy to them and they get to come back and like, and it's like, well, we live here. Like, you know, so on the topic of that, that specifically, I just wanted to clarify. It's like, I have so many friends that move to other places and they're like, oh, I also like miss a lot of things there, but like, whatever. On the topics of venues, it's, and I think that's part of the reason I don't play in Yorkton. I won't play in Moose Jaw. Like I would if there's an event, but I just think it's like, there's, when we were in high school, there was a bunch of youth that were bored and they all got drawn to this like music scene. And I remember I would play in Swift Current. I would play in Moose Jaw. I would play in Estevan. I would play, there'd be shows in Weyburn. There'd be shows in Lumsden. I've played in Esterhazy, Yorkton. We've played in Waukaw, Saskatchewan. I've played in Kindersley. I've played in Saskatoon. Like,
I feel like I'm listening to Blue Sky on CBC right now, hearing you list all these places.
Yes. No, straight up. But it's like, and those shows were put on by youth. And it was like, you know, there were no contract. It was just like, hey, you want to come play a show? And they weren't all good, but it was also, it exposed, like a lot of those people I know for a fact then moved to Saskatoon and Regina because they were like, whoa, like those scenes, like I want to be a part of those scenes, like cool. And then we got extra, Manitoba as well, like Swan River, Brandon, Dauphin, Winnipeg. You know, there are a lot of shows there too, like the Manitoba and Saskatchewan scene. I feel like we're pretty close, like in the hardcore and acoustic stuff. And it's just really sad because now whenever I book a tour, Swift Current's got a great thing going with the lyric.
Yeah.
Moose Jaw every once in a while, but like I've played so many shows there. Nobody, like even the ones that I played a hometown hockey and there was like not many. I've played so many shows there where there's like no places there. Yorkton, there's not really, I've tried a couple times to play there and it's just like there wasn't, like there's not really a small, like there used to be a coffee shop that would do small shows and I would love to play those places, like Estevan, like as people move away from those cities, it's just like the people who used to put those shows on, unless you have an organized like kind of grassroots, like even like the lyric with a booking person that's accessible. I know OSAC does their thing, but it's so restrictive to who gets booked. And it's kind of a bummer because I would absolutely love to play all those places. I wouldn't even necessarily care if I get, like, as long as they're doing their best to market them in that market and like trying their best to, you know, publicize it as best as possible. I don't even necessarily care if I get paid a lot, but yeah, really, when I tour, I'll play Swift Current, I'll play Regina, I'll play Saskatoon. And those are really the only like Saskatchewan city, like there's the odd festival or like, you know, like, community event. But it's kind of a bummer because there were scattered pockets of youth and young people who were putting those shows on. And it's just, I don't think it exists anymore.
Well, you know, we'll see what the venue landscape looks like on the other side of this too. You know, Nick, we have to wrap it up. It is time, my friend. What, real quick, when you're on the road, what is that go-to snack you're grabbing?
I didn't prepare for this. And I saw some, I don't even know how it's COVID safe. I saw some at a convenience store, you know, like the gas station licorice, the big ones.
Oh yeah.
I love those. And like a part of me now is I'm like, oh, those are going to be like, those are totally going to like be gone. Cause it's just so like, you know, getting your grungy fingers in a little Twizzler, like lift up, you know, the plastic container, like, give me that bacteria and that grunge. Like, yeah, so, but I went to a place and like last night, actually, I got a slush shake and they still had them. I was like, and like they had 5 cent counties. I'm like, how was this? Like, I don't understand how this is safe. But
Nick, I look forward to the day where we can both put our dirty little hands into that licorice container, even though there are tongs, but let's just ignore that fact right now. Put our dirty little hands into that licorice container and share some strawberry flavor, favorite flavor, strawberry?
The berry usually.
Nice. All right, take care, my friend.
Yep, you too.
Nick Fay, thank you so much for the fun conversation. Please check out his music at nickfaydeputies.com. You've been listening to Pep and Ched with Megan Nash, a co-production with the Creative City Centre in Regina, Saskatchewan. The Creative City Centre is supported by the Canada Council for the Arts, Sask Arts, the City of Regina, Canadian Heritage, and Creative Saskatchewan. This podcast is made possible because of the ongoing support of these agencies in spite of everything that's going on in this pandemic-fatigued world we live in. Special thank you to the Garys for the music. The Creative City Centre is a community-based arts centre that used to present present around 200 events a year and gave a lot of emerging artists a home as they were starting out. Now they are a home for a lot of online production, so check out creativecitycenter.ca to see what else they are cooking up besides all this pep and chat with me, Megan Nash. Support live music, folks, no matter what form it's served up in. Thank you. Bye-bye.